track to news. Hello and welcome to the Black Country Talking News. It's Wednesday the 21st of November 2018, and today in the studio we have Martin and John as the sound engineers, myself Bronwyn, Joyce and Brian. And with that, Joyce will start the news.
An award-winning pub was found with a series of hygiene failures, landing bosses with a £17,000 court bill. The Cat Inn, Enville, has since been re-inspected and re-rated with a five-star rating following fines, when inspectors uncovered a range of failures at the Cat in Enville near Stourbridge, which was slapped with a zero food hygiene rating. The officers from South Staffordshire Council found a dirty kitchen and a risk of contamination when they visited the well-known pub, which was named Camra Dudley and South Staffordshire Pub of the Year for 2018. The food business operators have been made to pay £17,475, including court costs, after pleading guilty to 12 breaches of food safety and hygiene regulations at Cannock Magistrates Court in September. The Cat at Enville Limited, the food business operator, was given a formal caution with prosecution costs of £11,300, while the Hicksters Limited, the management team for the public house, was fined £4,000 with prosecution costs of £2,000 and court costs of £175. The premises has since been re-inspected and re-rated with a five-star rating. Councillor Roger Lees, Deputy Leader and Cabinet Member for Regulatory Services, said, "As a result of this successful prosecution, this business has improved immeasurably and is now following all the guidelines and the standards on food safety. All food business operators need to ensure safe food is produced and sold to customers. While the majority of businesses do comply, we will not hesitate to take formal action through the courts when we consider it necessary." The food safety officers from South Staffordshire Council visited the public house in February 2017 to carry out the routine food inspection and found numerous failings and unacceptable conditions, including poor standards of cleaning to the structure and equipment, poor stock control and food handling practices, lack of food hygiene knowledge and risks of contamination. The conditions were so bad that the business scored a zero food hygiene rating, indicating urgent improvement was necessary. An officer had found similar issues at the business at a previous inspection back in February 2016, when the business had scored a rating of 1. At the time, considerable advice and guidance was given to bosses to improve the standards. After its zero rating, the council's environmental health team served food hygiene improvement notices on the pub to improve conditions. After it was re-inspected, the pub was awarded a five-star rating, which is very good, after an unannounced visit by inspectors in September 2017.
Fake poppies were seized from a Black Country shop after it was claimed the owners were pocketing the cash raised. Walsall Trading Standards officers paid a visit to a Willenhall off-licence after reports that poppy badges were being sold and the money was going into the store's till. The shop owner initially denied selling poppies, and when officers spotted them by the till, the owner said that someone came in and left them, so the shop was giving them away, not selling them. The officers then pointed out that there was a £2.99 sticker above the poppies, and the owner gave no response. A spokesman for Walsall Council said officers explained that the two-petal poppy design is registered by the British Legion as a trademark, and anything that uses the design or looks like it is counterfeit unless approved by the British Legion. Officers went on to seize the poppies and warned the store owner that by selling counterfeit goods he could be fined an unlimited amount and or jailed for up to 10 years. The owner was also told that he was taking money which should go to a charity. The poppies will now be destroyed, the council said. The spokesman added, Walsall Trading Standards will always seize poppies that are not supplied through official channels, either the British Legion itself or retailers approved by them. Even if the design of the poppy is different to that registered as a trademark, passing off offences can still be committed if they are similar. Walsall Trading Standards takes the view that people are being misled if cash for any poppy badge is not going to charity, unless they are clearly and explicitly told this before buying. If retailers want to support the poppy appeal, then they should contact the local branch of the Royal British Legion for an official collection box.
A disgusting and filthy Dudley takeaway, which left a dead rat floating in waste oil in its backyard, has seen its owners fined more than £20,000. The discovery of the rodent was one of a number of serious hygiene failings discovered at Mama's in Wolverhampton Street during an inspection in August 2017. Dudley Council's environmental health officers brought the case against Mama's following the inspection, and it was heard at Dudley Magistrates Court on Wednesday, November the 7th. Magistrates described the takeaway as disgusting and absolutely filthy and fined its owners £11,000 each, with £410 costs and a £100 victim surcharge. Maksud Ahmed, 41, and Mohammed Sagir, 43, both pleaded guilty to 11 charges under food safety and hygiene regulations. The offences included failing to keep the premises and equipment clean and in good repair and condition, failing to provide hot water to the sink and wash hand basin, and failing to comply with an improvement notice. The court heard equipment including a food mixer, pizza oven, chopping boards, can opener, chest freezer and microwave were dirty. Floors and the ceiling were defective and not capable of being cleaned, and raw lamb burgers were stored above ready-to-eat foods in a refrigerator. Dudley Council confirmed the premises has now changed ownership and has recently reopened under a new name. Councillor Cathy Baton, Cabinet Member responsible for health and wellbeing, said, conditions at this takeaway were extremely poor and has now closed, with the owners now being held to account and incurred such a significant financial penalty. While we prefer to work with businesses to secure compliance with the law, we will not hesitate to take legal action against the minority of food businesses proprietors who do not take our advice on board and who fail to meet their legal responsibilities. I want to reassure the public that the vast majority of food businesses in the borough are well run and compliant with hygiene and safety rules. More than half of all food outlets in the borough are achieving the top hygiene rating of 5, with the vast majority achieving a satisfactory rating of 3 or more. I would urge consumers to check out hygiene ratings online, as these will give consumers a glimpse into what is going on in the kitchen when they eat out, or behind the scenes at places they shop.
A stressed medic who botched blood test checks and put patients at risk has not been struck off for his mistakes. Biomedical scientist Simon Walmsley forced one patient to have an unnecessary transfusion and left another needing renal dialysis after failing to properly monitor blood samples. But he has been allowed to keep his job at Wolverhampton's New Cross Hospital after a tribunal claimed suspending him would be disproportionate. A report from the Health and Care Professionals Council hearing read, the panel found significant and serious failings by Mr. Walmsley in some of the most fundamental and basic of tasks required to be completed by a biomedical scientist when carrying out work in the critical field of processing blood results. Those failings led to the very real risks identified by the witnesses in their evidence and could have caused harm to those patients where the errors were made. Mr. Walmsley, who worked in the hospital's haematology and blood transfusion laboratories, was responsible for analysing samples and issuing blood products. The London panel found his conduct between September 2014 and July 2015 seriously breached professional standards and amounted to misconduct. But the medic claimed high levels of stress and anxiety were to blame for mistakes made for the first time during his 15-year career, leaving him distracted and in need of a break. On one occasion, he failed to highlight abnormal blood test results, possibly indicating leukemia, which meant that two patients were given delayed cancer treatment. The panel handed Mr. Walmsley a 12-month conditions of practice order, which includes creating a training and development plan with the Royal Wolverhampton National Health Service Trust and providing reports on his work.
Police are investigating after the woman, who has not been named to protect her identity, met a stranger on Scrapple app Words with Friends, who then seduced her and conned her out of tens of thousands of pounds. After a short period of time, the conversation moved on to the Google Hangouts app, where over a number of weeks the fraudster claimed he was a millionaire, making his money as an oil rig contractor. As they got to know each other better, their relationship intensified, with the fraudster telling her he loved her and sending her red roses. She added, "Before I knew it, I had agreed to send him £3,500 to cover necessities like food and medical supplies. He said he had 65 staff underneath him and that he needed to provide for, and so 2 days later he convinced me to send a further £26,350. The fraudster then asked for an additional £7,150, but by this time the victim had run out of money, and so her bank froze her account and said they suspected she'd become a victim of a scam. The scam was reported to Staffordshire Police, and detectives found the photo of the man she thought she was talking to on a social media profile of a random man in Norway. When asked how she felt when she realised it was a scam, she said, "To be honest, I just felt stupid. That money was there for a rainy day and retirement so that I could go and enjoy myself. But it's gone now, never to be seen again. The only positive is that I'm a stronger person for it and now more aware of how easily people can be manipulated into something they want to believe is true." Action Fraud and Staffordshire Police detectives are currently investigating the incident. For the best advice on how to spot a romance scam, go to www.actionfraud.police.uk. If you think you are a victim of any sort of fraud, contact Action Fraud on 0300 123 2040.
Controversial plans to build a girls' school in Stourbridge have gone back to the drawing board due to concerns over funding, but they have not been shelved completely. Historic boarding school Old Swinford Hospital hoped to use government funding to build a state day and boarding school for girls, a first in the country, in the town. However, the scheme came under fire from environmental campaigners because the proposed location was Greenbelt land on Norton Road. Several vocal public meetings were held at Old Swinford during the consultation period, but the school has now confirmed the project is being put on hold. Old Swinford Hospital School head teacher Paul Kilbride told the news, "Current funding levels are not good, and the recent budget isn't bringing significant funding into the system. That's the national concern at this time, of course. We're still keen to pursue the idea in the future, but we want to see what the comprehensive spending review is saying first, and that's next spring. It's clear from our consultation that there's a good deal of demand for an Old Swinford Hospital style of education for girls at an 11 to 16 school, so we'll continue to lobby the government in order to keep schools funding at the top of the agenda." The school's decision to defer their plans was welcomed by campaign group Save Stourbridge Green Belt, but they remain concerned about the development plans in the town. Spokeswoman Christine Farmer said, "We are aware that Old Swinford Hospital School have decided not to proceed with the proposals for a free school on land off Norton Road, Stourbridge. However, this same site and the wider green belt of Stourbridge remains under threat of development as it has been submitted in the call for sites as a part of the Black Country Core Strategy Review. This process also threatens to take land out of green belt protection as part of the green belt review, which we fought earlier this year. Land lying either side of Racecourse Lane has been submitted with a suggestive development of 2 schools and 500 houses. It is one of 7 sites submitted which fall within the area currently designated as Green Belt around Stourbridge. In total, more than 70 hectares of currently protected Green Belt land has been put forward for development in the Stourbridge area. Save Stourbridge Green Belt are totally opposed to any development of this land, which is important to local people as a place of recreation and enjoyment, as well as providing a habitat for threatened wildlife."
A mother of 3 who ran a £90,000 a year tax racket by selling smuggled cigarettes and tobacco through Facebook has been jailed for 2 years, 3 months. Hazel Lumley sold smuggled cigarettes and tobacco through Facebook. Hazel Lumley launched the 4-year-long scam with help from a mystery supplier allegedly based in West Bromwich, Wolverhampton Crown Court heard. The 38-year-old was later joined by her then-partner, Stephen Henderson, aged 34, who was locked up for 2 years. The pair sold over 256,000 cut-price cigarettes and more than 2,500 pouches of rolling tobacco in 2015, revealed Mr. Richard McConaghy, prosecuting. The telltale details of that year's fraudulent business was recorded in a 365-day diary, seized with other paperwork when Revenue and Customs investigators raided the home in Darlaston Road, Wednesbury, where the couple were living together on April the 6th, 2017. By that time, Lumley had recruited her eldest child, Hayley Eaton, then aged 17, and living at the same address, to take part in the fraud, continued Mr. McConaghy. The cheap cigarettes, an £8.99 a packet of 20, cost £2.75. They were sold through Facebook by Lumley with special offers like try before you buy and free delivery. An unregistered mobile phone was used for most of the business, but a second phone linked to the crime was traced to her, the court heard. Orders were taken before the counterfeit goods were bought in bulk from the supplier. They claimed to operate from a shop in West Bromwich, but nothing was found at the address when it was raided on the same day as the home of the defendants. The racket ran from January 2013 until December 2016, with Eton only being involved for the final year, while Henderson took part for around 3 years. Lumley started the fraud, which customs officers said had cost the Treasury about £350,000 in lost excise duty. This figure was reached by using the 2015 figures. The only details of an annual return found during the inquiry, as an estimate for the other 3 years of the scam. The defence argued that the money made by the defendants was far less, with actual annual profits reaching no more than £40,000. All three defendants admitted fraudulently evading excise duty.
A vandal-hit car park, which could have been the birthplace of silent film star Charlie Chaplin, is in line for a major makeover after councillors approved changes to its planning strategy. Scores of new houses and improvements to the park in the rundown Black Patch district in Smethwick can now be put forward after Sandwell Council's cabinet agreed an interim planning statement at its meeting this week. The consent means the authority can now accept residential planning applicants for an area previously designated for industrial use. Sites at Kitchener Street and the Merryhill allotments have been earmarked for homes and improvements in the environmental quality of the areas, which has been in decline in recent years. The park was once a wintering site for travellers, and in 1991, Chaplin's daughter Victoria revealed a secret letter sent to her father that suggested he was born there in 1889, not in London as Chaplin claimed. Chaplin's parents were travelling entertainers and often visited the Midlands. Where he was born is disputed because no birth certificate was ever registered. The claims were given more credence in 2015 when Chaplin's son Michael unveiled a memorial to the traveller community in the park and suggested his grandmother would have chosen to give birth there rather than in a workhouse where her baby could have been taken away from her. Steve Elling, leader of Sandwell Council, welcomed the change in planning status, said it was needed to bring forward improvements as the community had lobbied for. He said there are some real opportunities to turn around the fortunes of Black Patch and to regenerate the park and to deal with the dereliction issues in the area and to give the area a new lease of life.
Plans for Dudley Town's new metro and bus station interchange have moved a step forward with the approval of a £10 million grant. The West Midlands Combined Authority approved the grant, which will support the development of an £18 million transport interchange for buses and the proposed metro line. The grant will fund a significant part of the redevelopment of the town's bus station and will help people who travel by bus to access the rail network. Councillor Kieran Casey, a Dudley's Cabinet Member for Regeneration and Enterprise, said, "There are lots of great projects taking place in Dudley at the moment which will make a massive difference to the town centre, and good connectivity and sustainable transport is a key component of these. That's why we've been pushing the West Midlands Combined Authority to get these plans drawn up for a new bus and metro interchange right in the town centre. The funding moves these plans one step closer, and we will continue to work closely with them to make these and other projects in the pipeline a reality as quickly as possible. Preparatory works have also begun to bring the ambitious project to extend to the West Midlands Metro from Wensbury to Briley Hill via Dudley closer to fruition. Work in Dudley Town Centre will be taking place in Flood Street, King Street, Birmingham Street and Castle Street to help confirm the locations of existing services. The work will involve several small excavations, and lane restrictions may be in place for safety reasons while it's underway." Councillor Casey added, "The start of these works along the route is excellent news for the project and shows the progress the scheme is making. People can now see that this much anticipated extension is moving closer to delivery. This project will provide a significant boost to our local economy, as well as providing benefits to residents across the region by making it easier for them to get to jobs and the national and international rail network, with travel times estimated at being approximately 40 minutes from Dudley Town Centre to Birmingham City Centre. The metro extension is expected to be up and running in 2023. And with that final item, we'll now make way for the notices. So it's goodbye from me, Bronwyn.
It's goodbye from Joyce.
And it's goodbye from Brian.